The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. You know, they say it's a thin line between love and hate, but we're working every day to thicken that line, or at least make it a double, even triple line.
Now here's your line-jumping host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Some subjects are very close to my heart. Not all of them, but some of them. This is one of them. I get to talk right now to the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, Todd Nettleton. There's a brand new book called Jesus Freaks, people who've suffered for their faith. When I had the privilege of finding out about Voice of the Martyrs and Richard Vormbrand, who suffered monstrously for his faith under the communists in Romania, and then I got to meet him, I just thought there's nothing more beautiful and moving than these people whose faith puts them in a place where they're willing to suffer for their faith. And I think it strengthens all of us when we hear these stories. So, Todd Nettleton, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. It is great. And I agree with you 100%. These stories are powerful and they really do have an impact on us as we read them.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I realize this stuff in retrospect, writing my books on Bonhoeffer and stuff. I realize that it strengthens people to read these stories. And the stories in Jesus Freaks, I mean, what Bonhoeffer went through was very mild compared to what a lot of people have suffered over the years. So first of all, tell us about yourself and what you do as host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio.
Well, I basically help tell the stories of persecuted Christians, and I've been serving here at Voice of the Martyrs for 22 years now and have had the chance to sit down and interview and ask questions of people who are the Bonhoeffers of today or the Richard Vormbrands of today, and really just sit down and ask them, hey, tell me about the prison cell. Tell me what it was like. How did you get through that? How did God sustain you in the midst of that? And then do interviews like this and our broadcast every week to help tell those stories to American Christians.
Well, I love it. How can people find Voice of the Martyrs Radio? Are you on, is there a website?
VOMradio.net is the website, VOMradio.net, and you can actually put in your zip code and find a station where we're carried. We're on now more than 1,000 radio stations. You can also listen wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for VOM Radio, and it will be, like I say, wherever you listen to podcasts.
VOM, that's Voice of the Martyrs, VOMradio.net. Well, tell us about the book. I know it's brand new. It's called Jesus Freaks. I love that. I use that term a lot in my own life. I'm a Jesus freak. I say that proudly. But tell us about this book.
Well, this book is an updated and expanded edition of the book that first came out from DC Talk and the Voice of the Martyrs in 1999. So that book came out, literally impacted an entire generation. They sold over 1 million copies. So many people that we will meet and talk to will say, the first time I heard about persecuted Christians, the first time I heard about the Voice of the Martyrs was when I picked up a copy of Jesus Freaks. So that was released in 1999. Obviously, we're now in 2020. There have been more Jesus Freak stories written in the last 20 years. There have been more Christians who laid down their lives rather than deny Christ. And so we wanted to tell their stories too. We wanted to include their stories as well. So the brand new book, it has about 35% brand new stories, brand new material, as well as some of the great stories from the original edition. And our hope is this will inspire another generation. You know, a lot of people that read Jesus Freaks in 1999, maybe they were a college student, maybe they were a high school student. now they're a parent of a college student or a high school student. And this book is something they can pass along and say, listen, this inspired me. I want you to be inspired. And just like you say, we want them to live as Jesus freaks and to be inspired to do that by these stories.
Well, it is amazing and it is powerful. It changes everything when you understand, first of all, the tremendous liberty that most of us have, religious liberty. We take it for granted, which is really deeply wrong. And when we read the stories or hear the stories of people who don't have religious liberty and who are suffering for the lack of religious liberty, it does make us appreciate what we have. And it makes us want to use the liberty we have to help them, to do what we can to increase religious liberty in our own country, around the world. Let's get into some of the stories, because I want people listening to have some idea of what we're talking about.
Well, one of the stories, one of the new stories that is told is the story of the Groenewald family. This was an amazing family. They lived in South Africa. Werner, the father, was a pastor on staff at a church. His wife, Hannah Lee, was an emergency room physician. They had a very nice, comfortable life in South Africa. And after 9/11, so after the attacks, after everyone became aware of Osama bin Laden, God called them to go to Afghanistan and serve there. And you know, the natural response, in fact, I had the chance to interview Hannah Lee, and she said, even some members of their family said, there is no way that God would call you to take your children to Afghanistan. That just isn't something a loving God would do. But they answered that call. They went to Afghanistan and they served there. And ultimately, Werner and their two teenage children were killed in an attack by the Taliban. Hannah Lee, as a doctor, had actually been asked to be at a UN meeting that day. They had heard there would be an attack. They thought it would be on that meeting. And so they said, hey, we need a doctor on site. Hannah Lee, can you come and be here? So she was there when the attack happened on her home and on her family. Her husband was killed. Her two teenagers were killed. And yet, Hannah Lee forgives the killer. She loves the Afghan people. She talks about her love for the Afghan people, and she talks about how God sustained her through that loss, through that incredible loss, and yet God allowed her to go through it, allowed her to hang on to her faith. That's just one of the new stories that's in this new edition of Jesus Freaks.
I mean, the most amazing thing sometimes is not that someone would risk their life for the cause of the gospel or to love their enemies or to love strangers, but that when something like this happens, someone like this mother would be capable of forgiving. That to me is what separates the sheep from the goats. That's when you say, wait a second, this is crazy. This doesn't make any sense. Maybe God is real. Maybe this person knows something that I don't know, because I can't conceive how it's possible to do that.
It is one of the greatest proofs, as you have said, of God's existence, because, you know, humanly speaking, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even compute that you would forgive the people who killed your family. And so, like you say, when someone is looking on and they see that, and some parts of Hannah Lee's story are just amazing. Hannah Lee, again, was a doctor. And so she actually was called upon to help prepare the bodies of her family for burial. And you think about going through that process, and then you think about saying, I forgive the people who killed them. I love Afghanistan. I love the Afghan people. There isn't a human way of figuring that out. That only makes sense if God is real and if God empowers you to do that. So as you say, it's one of those things that really shines the light on the reality of the gospel, because you can't explain it in human reasoning.
We just had on this program Ellen Vaughn, who wrote a book, the first biography of Elizabeth Elliot. It's called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot. And it's a similar story. Her husband was killed by like a Stone Age tribe that they were giving their whole lives over to minister to these people. And Jim Elliot, of course, famously, and some others were killed. She then goes back to live among these people that killed her husband, to forgive them, to share the good news of Jesus with them. This is superhuman. And when I say superhuman, I mean it is genuinely superhuman. human. Humanity cannot account for this. Only God is capable of doing this. And in his strength, he does it through some of us. But these stories are so inspiring. We're going to go to a break, folks. When I come back, we'll continue the conversation with Todd Nettleton. You can go to VOM, that's Voice of the Martyrs, VOMradio.net. The book is Jesus Freaks.
And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Todd Nettleton. He is the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, Voice of the Martyrs Radio.net, VOMradio.net is the website if you're unaware of it. And the new book, it's a new edition of the book Jesus Freaks. I love that title when it came out in 1999. I've always loved that term. DC Talk did their song and the book came out, Jesus Freaks, talking about people who have been persecuted for their Christian faith. It's just amazing. It's a badge of honor. So, Todd, tell us some more of these stories. I mean, the book contains, you said, a lot of the stories from the 1999 version, but then you've updated it with stories from the last 21 years.
Well, one of the stories that is my favorite, and it's one that carried over from the original edition, is the story of Trofim Dimitrov. He was a Christian living behind the Iron Curtain during the Soviet Union times. And the book tells the story. The guards were determined to break him. They were determined to break his faith in Christ. They carried him to the edge of a pit filled with dogs, and they threw him over the edge into the pit. And they kind of backed away, and they heard the dogs going crazy, and they thought, well, you know, this is the end of Trofim. This is the end of his faith. But then as they stepped forward and looked down into the pit, what they saw was Trofim Dimitrov kneeling in prayer at the bottom of this pit, and these wild dogs that were supposed to be attacking him actually trying to climb the walls and get out of the pit. The dogs wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted to get away from him. And you think about, you know, we talked about the proofs of God's existence. What did those guards think when they look down in that pit and they see the dogs trying to get away from the praying man? Another proof that God is real and that he's able to protect his people.
Listen, those stories, you can never prove these things because they're people that some people will just refuse to look at the evidence and to look at the proof. Or I should say, you can never convince some people even when you have proof. But I think it's vital that we convince ourselves when we read stories like this. Most people with a slightly open mind know this happened. This is not made up. It's not a fairy tale. It's not one of these stories of the saints from the fifth century that just sounds silly. This is real. This didn't happen so long ago. We have witnesses and we hear stories like this from the mission field. But if you're not hearing these stories often enough, you forget the power of God. You forget that he is real, that he is powerful, that he does stories, that he does things like this. Doesn't mean he's going to do it every time. Many people are thrown to the lions and they're killed. But the point is, we need to know these stories. We need to hear these stories and share these stories with others. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program, because I think people need this for their own faith. We are strengthened profoundly in our faith when we read these stories. So the book is Jesus Freaks, brand new edition. You know, Todd, we all long for a world in which God does stuff like this. And if we don't share these stories, we forget that we do live in that world, that all around us, this God is acting. If we don't share these stories, whether they happen to us or others, in a way, we're negligent, we're guilty, we're allowing a false narrative of a world without God to continue. The mainstream media and often the conservative media, they shy away from these kinds of stories. It makes them uncomfortable. we need to do everything we can to tell these amazing stories. I mean, that's extraordinary. When did that happen? I assume that was during the Soviet times.
That was during the Soviet times in the 1960s.
The wickedness that communist regimes brought to Christians in particular, it's this, another story that needs to be told. So we understand when we're talking about communists or about Marxism, what their worldview is. I know that Richard Vormbrand, I can't believe I had the privilege to meet him and Sabina, his wife, before they passed, obviously. But he underwent unspeakable horrors, and his faith was just so beautiful. I heard him preach at Times Square Church here in New York City, the church founded by David Wilkerson, where I met my wife. And he spoke, and I was just overwhelmed with the power of God in his life. It's a very rare thing. And so when you capture it in a book, it just makes it possible for more people to experience it. So I'm assuming people can get the book everywhere, or should they go to the website?
You can come to persecution.com, which is the main VOM website. You can buy it, though, wherever books are sold, it is available. And I agree with you. And I think one of the things that happens as we read these stories is we put ourselves in the story. Okay, what would I do in that situation? What would I do if they said, deny your faith or be shot? How would I respond to that? And, you know, I think that's a faith-building question, because I think most of us, if we're being honest, we say, boy, I'm not 100% sure what would I do. So I need to pray. I need to go to the scriptures. I need to strengthen my own faith. So I think these stories have that impact on us of strengthening our faith as we ask that question and as we try to honestly answer it and pray, Lord, help me to have the right answer. Help me to be able to stand no matter what the challenge is.
I think the courage of many Christians in the West today is not strong, which means that our faith is not strong. Because if we know these things, if we know Jesus has actually defeated death, it's not a nice idea, it's true, we live differently. Bonhoeffer believed that. A lot of the people, all the people in the book, Jesus Freaks, believe that. But I think that if we want to shine for the kingdom, we need to acquaint ourselves with these stories so that our faith is increased. And to me, it's magic. When you read these stories, your faith increases. It just happens. It's God's way of communicating with us through other people, through stories all the time. I don't know what it is exactly, but it happens. When you read these stories, something happens inside you. And so I say this to people, I can't think of an easier way to increase your faith, to increase your ability to stand in the face of what are extremely minor difficulties compared to what these folks go through. But nonetheless, we need to stand now for what is right. We shouldn't just wait till we're about to be thrown to the dogs. Today, every day, we have choices that we can make in what we say and how we say it and whether we say it. So how many stories are in this book?
Ooh, that is a good question, and I should have had.
I mean, it's
that.
A lot, I guess.
I want to say it's 150-ish.
Wow. Sounds like a big book. I can't think of what a wonderful thing to read every day as part of your devotion, or it's just, there's just nothing more beautiful than stories of God, and it just doesn't get more real than this. What was your role? Were you the general editor of this new edition?
Well, I was part of the writing team and part of the team here at Voice of the Martyrs that really looked back at the last 20 years and said, okay, what are the stories that have to be included? What are the stories of people who have lived out their Jesus Freaks experience in the last 20 years that we have to tell their stories? And so, you know, people like the Gronewald family, people like Helen Berhane, who was locked in a shipping container in Eritrea and yet continued to sing praise to the Lord. People like Pastor Han, who was martyred along the North Korea-China border by North Korean agents. We just kind of, I helped go through those stories and say, hey, that's one we have to have in here.
Well, you know, you mentioned China and North Korea. You know, for me, this is why Christians can't avoid politics, because if you care about your brothers and sisters who are suffering horrors in places like China, and of course, much worse, even in North Korea, you have to understand that the United States has an ability to be a voice for the voiceless, to stand up to dictatorships, to deal with dictatorships in such a way that we can use our might, our power, our wealth to influence them in the right direction, or we can do nothing. And I think when we talk about modern day China, it's gotten much worse there, hasn't it, in the last couple of decades?
It has gotten significantly worse, even in the last 2 to 3 years. We have seen a major crackdown against the church. And, you know, where we used to say, you know, in this province, things are bad for Christians. But, hey, look over here. It's not bad. And the church is operating without a lot of interference. That's not true anymore. This is a national program. It is coming from the highest levels of the Chinese government. And they are demanding that the church come under the authority of the Communist Party, that they are demanding that they control the hearts and minds of the people, not Jesus Christ controlling them, and they are not willing to compromise.
Folks, I'm talking to Todd Nettleton. He's the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. You can go to vomradio.net. The book, brand new book, get a copy, Jesus Freaks.
Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunity, TV breaks and movies.
Are you concerned about memory loss for yourself or a loved one? Susan Gibson's mother had dementia. Susan prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss. And after many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan founded Vivalor and created Glory Day Brain Booster. Glory Day is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won the award for most innovative healthcare regimen in 2020. Visit Vivalor.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Glory Day is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology that leads to memory loss starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. Vivalor is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. At Vivalor.com, enter promo code 20 for 20% off. The makers pray that God's glory rests on every pill. Vivalor.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric. Okay. Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like 3 pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
Hey there, folks. I am talking to Todd Nettleton. He's the head of host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, brand new book out, brand new edition of the book Jesus Freaks, which tells a story of stories of persecuted Christians. There are tons of them. They're all so valuable. Todd, we were just talking about China and North Korea, and you were saying how the Chinese Communist Party is cracking down much harder in the last 2 or 3 years. This is a big thing for Americans, part of the reason that I want to talk to you is because I think that unless we understand what is happening in places like this, and unless we understand the stories of people who have suffered serious persecution, we can be indifferent politically. We can forget that we have the strength, the ability to do something to help these people. And if we don't know that we have that ability or that obligation, that duty from God to use our freedom to help those who don't have freedom, then we don't do anything about it. We don't even vote for candidates who might do something about it or who are talking about it. And I think that, you know, when we consider the power of the West today and the power of the American church in particular, if we don't use that power for God's purposes around the world for those who are suffering, God is judging us. He gave us these gifts that we would use them for those who don't have them.
You know, I think you're certainly correct that we have a voice. We have a way of influencing our leaders. They, in theory, at least, they work for us. We can tell them, hey, this is a priority for us. When I go in the voter's booth, I think about who did something on behalf of persecuted Christians. So we do have that voice. But even if the government completely turns against us and we had no political voice, we have the power of prayer. And the first thing that persecuted Christians ask us to do is to pray for them. And the challenging thing to me is their request is not, hey, will you pray that I won't be persecuted anymore? It is, will you pray that I'll be faithful to Christ in spite of my persecution, in spite of my suffering? So one of the things we try to do on Voice of the Martyrs Radio, one of the things we do here at Voice of the Martyrs is equip people to pray for our brothers and sisters who are undergoing persecution. You know, Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. Well, if I was in prison, I would certainly want to know that people are praying for me. And so that's one way that we can honor that scripture and honor our brothers and sisters who are suffering is by praying for them.
Well, I mean, there ought to be no question that we would pray for them. If we don't know their stories, if we don't know anything about them, it's unlikely we'll pray for them. So we need to educate ourselves. We need to read these stories. We need to talk about this issue. And then there are many Christians, I think, who can do, you know, the worst thing is when you over-spiritualize something and you say like, well, why should I give money to Voice of the Martyrs? Why should I do anything that way? I'm just going to pray. Like, I don't want to make it about money. I don't want to make it about politics. And I think, folks, God is not about only do one thing. If the only thing you can do is pray, then you pray. But if you can pray and you can give and you can influence things politically, you do everything you can do. I think that we forget sometimes that the Lord wants us to do everything we can do and not merely be spiritual beings who are praying. But my goodness, Todd, yes, prayer, prayer is key. But you know, once you get involved in these stories, then you can pray more effectively. Then you want to pray because you're aware of what's happening.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I think the way I tell people is, you know, it's easy to say God bless persecuted Christians, but it's also easy to forget to say that if that's sort of the surface level that you're at. But when you start thinking about Pastor Wang Yi, who is serving a 9-year prison sentence in China, and you have his picture on your refrigerator or you have it tucked into your Bible, it's very easy to pray for that because it becomes personal. This is my prayer partner. This is the guy I'm praying for. This could be my pastor. So I'm going to pray for Pastor Wang Yi. So like you say, as we know the stories and as we know names and faces and places, we can pray more effectively. We can pray more passionately for our brothers and sisters who are going through persecution.
I'm guessing that some of the folks that in the latter part of this book are alive today.
They are. And in fact, I just mentioned Pastor Wang Yi. He is one of the stories that is told in this book. Right now, he is serving 9 years in prison in China. His church was an unregistered, illegal church. But they chose to be very open about what they were doing. In fact, they put his sermons on YouTube. So it's like, we're not hiding anything. We're serving the Lord. We're doing what he calls us to do. And Wang Yi actually wrote a letter to be released if he was ever arrested, when he was arrested. And that letter spells out, I am willing to go to jail. I am willing to suffer if that's what my government asked me to do, because my first loyalty is to Jesus Christ. And sometimes as we follow him, we have to suffer. In fact, I think one of the interesting things about Wang Yi is he didn't appeal the 9-year prison sentence. He said, I accept your sentence. I will go. I will start serving it. But even today, his family, his wife and their son, Joshua, they are under intense pressure right now, not in prison, but under pressure because his faith continues. And so that's one of the stories that's told in the book. It's also one of the families that I hope people will pray for as we read these stories and as we begin to make that commitment to be connected to the body of Christ and to pray for those that are suffering.
Well, I want to remind people they can go to vomradio.net, V-O-M, that's Voice of the Martyrs, vomradio.net. The book is Jesus Freaks. And the main website is persecution.com. Is that right?
That's correct. Persecution.com.
Okay, persecution.com. We'll be right back.
Cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day.
Folks, I'm talking to Todd Nettleton. He's the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. You can go to persecution.com, which is the website for Voice of the Martyrs. And I just have to ask you, Todd, you said you've been for over 20 years with Voice of the Martyrs. How did you get involved in this? What is your story of faith?
Well, you know, I grew up in a pastor's household, and I kind of trace my beginnings of my work at VOM to 1982. I was 12 years old, and our family moved to Papua New Guinea, and my parents served as missionaries there for 4 years. That gave me a love for other cultures, a love for what God is doing around the world, a love for getting on an airplane and going someplace I've never been before. And I think that, like I say, really started me on the path of that ultimately led to Voice of the Martyrs. And so I have now had the privilege to tell the stories of persecuted Christians for 20 years and really to meet and sit down with some heroes of the faith. I really think of it like sitting down with Paul and Silas after they came out of the Philippian jail and saying, so Paul, you know, why did you decide that you should sing when you're in the stocks in the middle of the jail? And what song did you sing? What, you know, so having those conversations and then being able to tell those stories and really hopefully challenge the faith of American Christians, challenge them to live more boldly for Christ is what God has called me to do and what he has allowed me to do, because I really think of it as a privilege.
Are there any other miracle stories you can tell? The story you told about this this pastor who was thrown into the pit with dogs. I mean, these things happen, and we need to share these stories. I'm assuming there are many more in the book because there's so many stories in the book, but anything off the top of your head that you can share?
There's more in the book, but let me share one that was shared on Voice of the Martyrs Radio by one of our friends who is working inside Iran. He was taken to a rural village in Iran, and he was told, hey, you need to meet this guy. You need to hear his story. And so he went to this house and met this older gentleman in Iran. And in the course of their conversation, the man said, well, there was a man in white that came and talked to me in the nighttime. And, you know, he kind of perked up and said, so tell me about the man in white. Tell me, you know, and he said, well, he said a lot of things. And he told me to write down what he said. And he said, the man in white came every night for a month and told him what to say, what to write down. And so he had written down all these things. And my friend who was there, he said, well, do you have what you wrote down? Can I see it? Absolutely. And so he goes and gets this little notebook and he brings it out. And my friend, our contact working in Iran, opens up the notebook. And the first page begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as he thumbed through the pages of this notebook, this man had transcribed the Gospel of John. And as he said, the man in white had given him the words, and he had transcribed the entire Gospel of John into this notebook. Just an amazing story of God supernaturally delivering his word to an open Muslim heart in Iran that is not a Muslim anymore, now a follower of Jesus Christ.
I mean, you hear things like this. I mean, there are many people that they don't have the capacity to believe things like this. They live in a world that's utterly materialistic, and they just can't comprehend that such things could be true. But when you meet people like this, when you read these stories, the more you look into it, the more you think, look, not all of these people could be lying. They don't seem like the kind of people that would make this up. It seems like the only explanation is this is real. And if this is real, what does it say about everything? What does it say about how I live my life? It is just so beautiful to hear stories like this. I mean, I've heard many similar stories, and you don't know what to do. You just want to praise God, say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're real. Thank you that you do things like this to encourage our faith. I don't know if there's any other thing like that that you can remember to share, just because we have limited time, but I'll ask you.
Well, I think one of the responses, and I've talked to the author, Tom Doyle, we've had him on VOM Radio, and he said when he meets a Muslim now, he will ask them, hey, have you had any strange dreams lately? And he said, it's amazing how often they will say, well, now that you asked that question, actually, yes, let me tell you about this dream. So we know God is at work. And like you say, if you heard that story one time and it was completely isolated, you might be like, well, I'm not sure about that. But when you hear story after story after story of God working supernaturally and God meeting people in their dreams and in visions, it's hard to not think God is doing something even beyond our understanding in these days.
There's no question. I've heard this so many times that innumerable Muslims are having these dreams. Entire villages, Muslim villages, are having these similar dreams about this man in white, this Jesus figure. And you think, why does God do this now in this way? And it's sort of impossible for us to figure out. Why doesn't the Lord speak to me every night that way? You know, when you get into mystical things like that, you have to have an open mind, because God does what he's going to do. God came to me in a dream in 1988, and Jesus transformed my life literally overnight in a dream. Why did he choose to do it that way with me and not with other people? We don't know. We just know that he's sovereign, that he is God, that he does these kinds of things. And I think that every time you hear one of these stories, it just opens you up more to, Lord, whatever you have for me. It's just so beautiful. I want that. We're just about out of time. The book is brand new, but it is a reissue. So you're saying that there are new stories in it, but all the stories that were in the 1999 edition, or many of them, are still there.
Yeah, many of them are still there. About 35% of it is brand new material, stories that have happened since 1999, since that first edition came out.
Well, it is exciting. I cannot wait to see a copy. And as soon as we're done here in a minute, I want to go to persecution.com. I have been a fan of Voice of the Martyrs since I became a believer, since I was aware of the work that y'all are doing. So I'm just excited that you guys exist. Persecution.com, that's a pretty good URL. I think you should stick with that. And the book, Jesus Freaks, brand new book. I hope everybody listening will get a copy. I really think that this is the kind of thing that makes an amazing gift for people, because if people start reading these stories, there's no way you're going to be the same. It's kind of that simple, and they're very short. Todd Nettleton, really grateful for what you do and for your time today. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always fun.
Take me to the pilot for control. Take me to the pilot of your soul.
Hey there, folks. We talk about a lot of tough stuff lately. We're going through some tough times. One of the things you can do, this is very important. If you're going through a tough time, do something for somebody who is going through a much tougher time. Help somebody who is suffering more than you are. That's an amazing thing to be able to do that. We have an opportunity. We are working again this month, as we have in the past, with CSI, that's Christian Solidarity International, to help free slaves in South Sudan. Now imagine, while we complain about the possibility of entering a dark time in this nation where we're no longer free, imagine while we're having that conversation that there are people today who are actual
slaves, because the radical Muslims, whether it's Boko Haram, they have a belief that slavery is okay, and that if you don't believe the way they do, if you're a Christian, for example, they can capture you and enslave you. Now, CSI is working on the ground in places like Southern Sudan, in fact, particularly with Southern Sudan, that's what we're doing, to free slaves. And they have told us that $250 given to CSI helps them to free a slave and to set up that person in a life of freedom. So what do they get? First of all, they have the ability, and I want you to understand how amazing this is, folks, that they have established relationships where they can do this. They can actually buy slaves out of slavery. It's an amazing, amazing thing. It's complicated. We'll talk about it another time. But they do that. Then they set them up with aid, with food, literally buy them a goat. They give them a whole fresh start in life. They get a novitium vaccine for cattle. That is what they do, okay, in order to buy a slave back. If you go to a slave owner in Southern Sudan and say, your cattle are dying, we have a vaccine. We'll give you the vaccine for your cattle if you give us this human being. This is what they have figured out, and it works, and that's what they're doing. That's why we need this money from you. So they do that. They buy the vaccine to get the person back. Then they set them up. They give them a goat, a she-goat, which gives milk. They set them up with a whole survival kit. It involves, you know, a blanket, cooking pots, all kinds of stuff, fishing hooks. They need all these things. Okay, now we need your help, folks. We're going to give you all kinds of stuff as we normally do, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. What I'm going to talk about now is the fact that we need everybody to help. So if you can't give $250, what can you give? There are some people who for Christmas, you say, you know what? What do I need for Christmas? I don't need anything for Christmas. I have everything. Why don't I do this? I will give grandpa in grandpa's name. He doesn't want anything. In his name, I'm going to free four slaves. For $1,000, I can literally free slaves. This is not theoretical. This is not a nice idea. This is not about giving you some big company that does something good. This is about $250 freeing a human being from slavery. Hard even to imagine, but it's true. We'll talk about it more this month, but we want you to help. I'm going to give you the phone number. You can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. It's just important for us to do a good thing when we're going through such a tough time in our country. Do something great for somebody who, without you folks, without you helping them, they are enslaved. We're going to be telling you about this month. But here's a phone number if you prefer a phone number. Go to metaxastalk.com. It's all there. But the phone number is 888-253-3522. I'll say it again. Imagine that you could do this today. Imagine that you have the ability to do this, something this good and this powerful today. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. There are people out there who can give $10,000. I say it again, that I'd be delighted to spend an evening with you as a way of thanking you. Anybody out there who can give $10,000, it's my joy. And down the line, folks, this is an amazing opportunity to do good. Please take this opportunity. God bless you.